Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Your teachers are Dr. Liberty and Dr. Rob Osum. Hey, Rob, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, will you please pray for us as we go into our time of study?
Absolutely. Our Heavenly and Gracious Father, thank you so much for this study, this time to come together and to read your word and to learn more about you, Father. For you have so much that you want us to understand and so much to teach us. Lord, I just ask that you bless this time, guide our speech, guide this instruction so that we speak your truth, Father.
Hallelujah.
And help us to discern what things are cultural and what things are biblical, Father. For that is what this study is about, is what is a biblical marriage? Not a cultural marriage, not an American marriage, or a Canadian or European marriage, but what is a biblical marriage? What is your truth? Lord, and the marriage is a great illustration of the relationship that we have with Jesus, that the church is wed to him, Father. It helps us to understand deep spiritual truths. So please help us to continue to learn more about this and to deepen our faith and our relationship to you, Father, to draw closer to you. That is what this is about. These things we pray in Christ's name, alone. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right. For those of you that are with us tonight, we want you to please do something for all of us. Keep everything around you quiet, radio, phone, TV, etc., because this teaching is live. And if you have any question, those of you that are with us by way of computers, you can use the chat and ask a question, and we will get back to you. And for those of you that are with us tonight by phone, please take down this number, and as we start the teaching and continue doing that, whatever question you may have, if you cannot wait until the end of the teaching, call this number and leave the question there. You can call several times, no problem. The number is 561-506-9853. 561-506-9853. Let me give it to you again. 561-406-9853. Leave your questions and we will get back to you. However, at the end of the teaching, everyone will be unmuted, and you will have the opportunity to do what? To ask questions or make comment. All right? Let me just read our text for tonight. It's coming from Hosea chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Let me take it from verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the veriest adultery in departing from the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call him Jeriel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jeriel, and I will put an end to the kingdom, of Israel. In that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jeriel." Verse 8, Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call her Loruhaman, for I will no longer show love to the house of Israel, that I shall at all forgive them. yet I will show love to the house of Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but by the law their God. After she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. Then the Lord said, call him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted, in the place where it was said to them, you are my people, and they be called sons of the living God. The people of Judah and the people of Israel will be reunited, and they will appoint one leader and will come up out of the land. For great will be the day of Jeriah. Now, this is a very, very exciting text tonight. It's a whole chapter, but the chapter is very short. Okay. Now, we are studying Hosea the prophet. If you have not viewed the first video, the second video, the online, you can please go there and listen to them, because it will help you to know exactly where we are going tonight. All right, but this is what we want to do for you. We are going to recap some of the things we studied last week, so as to enable us to just to lead us into our study tonight in part three. Okay. Now, what we studied last week was, we studied that the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom continually sin against God. The south and the north, the both kingdoms sin against God continually. We studied last week to week before last or so forth that the whole thing came from Solomon. Solomon sinned against God. And so his son took over and started up, but sinned against God as the same way. So the king of the southern kingdom, of the northern kingdom, Jeroboam, also sinned against God. God, in his sovereignty, turns the table around to his servant, the prophet Hosea, to marry a prostitute who would be unfaithful, and yet he was to love her as God loves Israel in spite of their sins. Israel, as the bride of God, continues to live in prostitution by worshiping other gods. These are the major discussions we had last year. Israel, the northern kingdom, they had their own shrines, they had their own worship systems. They were not coming to Jerusalem anymore to worship. All right, then of course, the southern kingdom, which is Judah, they also joined into all kinds of sinful activities. Not one kingdom was right. Okay, every name of Hosea's three children with Gomer described the kind of heart and feeling God had and what he had planned to do to Israel for worshiping other gods. Now, these were the major things we studied last week. Hey, go back to last week's video and you're going to get the whole thing. Okay, but these are of our objective for tonight. For the study today. At the end of the teaching, participants will discover, understand, and believe that the biblical account of Hosea and Gomer's wedding was not what was a reality, and that God taught Hosea a lesson to experience what he was going through with the people of Israel. Many people think that, oh no, it was not real. That's why many people thought, hey, it was an allegory. Some of them said, so it was not a real thing. But when you read the text said, God spoke to Hosea and said, go and marry a prostitute. So it was a real thing. Okay. The meanings of Hosea's three children names were God's communication to the people of Israel of what he would do to them for their disobedient spirit. Now, as Israel is unfaithful to God, so is Gomer to Hosea. Now, these are the major points of study we're going to hit in. These are our chapter tonight, and I want you to pay keen attention to these because they are very important. All right? We will prove to you that really it was real. Many people say, oh, no, that's an allegory. But it was real because the text tells you. And the meaning of the names of the children of Hosea and Gomer, these names really explain what God had intended to do in terms of punishment to the people of Israel. So at the same way, Hosea loved his beautiful wife, Gomer, but yet she was unfaithful. In the same way, God loved Israel, but yet Israel was unfaithful in the covenant with God. So these are the areas that we are going to talk about tonight. But let's look at the very first major point that we need to talk about after we have told you what we're going to do. All right, our objective for tonight. Now, the first thing here, God commands Hosea to marry a prostitute. Now, when you look at, let's go back to the text again. Hosea number chapter 1, verse 2 says, God's command to Hosea, when the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord. Now, in fact, this text rule out those who claim that this was an allegory. They rule it out, because the text here is plain that God himself spoke to the prophet to go and marry a prostitute. So what happened when God married a prostitute? When God spoke to Hosea, he obeyed. Verse 3 says, so he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Now, Rod, you say you got a note here.
Yes, you're right. This is not allegory. This is God speaking.
Right.
Jose, commanding him to go. You know, heading down the path of doubting this, thinking that this is allegory, that's a very slippery slope.
Right. Yeah, slippery slope.
It lessens the power, the omniscience of God, his position, and it's dangerous to your own faith. It's very weak. It's a weak faith position.
Mm-hmm.
So. I don't agree with that view. I think this did happen. It was a literal event, mm-hmm. It's literal, and it was an event that happened historically.
Mm-hmm.
And this I know, that we are a created being. Mm-hmm. We are finite. We only have limited intellect. And we only can operate in the present. We can't see the future. We're not omniscient as God is. We're not, occasionally he will reveal things to us, but we can't understand everything as he does.
We really can't.
God is omniscient.
Mm-hmm.
He's all-knowing. And from our finite minds, our limited intellect, some of these commands seem very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Not only to understand, but there are things that we don't want to do. I mean, would you want to marry a prostitute? So we see this throughout the Bible. We saw it in Jonah. You know, Jonah was commanded to go to Nineveh and to preach there. Well, he did not like the Ninevites.
Mm-hmm.
They were not... in good standing with each other. He did not want to go there. He and we all know what happened. You know, he went the opposite direction. He got into trouble. And then ultimately he said, okay, God, you're right. I will do what you've asked me to do. And what we learn here, what's so great about this one is we see that Isaiah, he responded. He took action. He didn't question. He didn't doubt. He didn't hesitate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we should respond. You know, God's commands are to be obeyed. You know, we don't know better than he does.
Right.
It's our own pride and sinful nature and our cultural upbringing that reinforces some of those things that gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in American society, we're told from a very early age, over and over and over, oh, you need to be happy. You need to be happy. You need to be happy. You know, we hear it in the secular media in Hollywood from our peers.
Uh-huh.
Scripture doesn't promise this. Scripture asks us to seek God, to know him, to draw close to him.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're going to have struggles. We're going to have to do difficult things. But following God's ways, it doesn't always mean we're going to be happy.
That's true.
Yet in our suffering, we can give praise. You know, and we see that as well throughout Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
When folks were in prison and in various hardships, they were singing praise to God. So we must do as we saw Job and Jonah and Hosea and here with Hosea doing the tough, the unpleasant things, but all in all, they were obedient.
Mm-hmm.
And they responded in obedience to God's commands.
Right.
So that's one of the first lessons we must learn. But we need to pay close attention to what's going to happen as God is revealing himself. As we've learned all through this study, Scripture is a progressive revelation. Because of our finite intellect,
mm-hmm.
We're operating in a physical realm, but these things are spiritual, and mm-hmm. our physical, fleshly bodies can't always understand it. So God realizes that, and he works through his Spirit, helping us to understand these things, and he reveals a little bit, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, so that we start to get a better and better picture of what's happening. And so that's what we're going to see through these prophecies here. It's a really great study.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Good. That's good. Now here's a point that I want to make here. God's commands are often difficult to understand. Without doubt, Hosea had difficulty, I believe, in fully understanding the rationality and the purpose of God's command, commanding him to do that. But what did he do? He obeyed. This is the point here. Because God is sovereign. And in his sovereignty, he does no wrong. God is always right in everything he does. So Hosea, knowing this, even though to marry a prostitute, it was a very difficult task or thing to do, but he did. God's command should be promptly, fully, and cheerfully obeyed. Sometimes it's very difficult, you know, when like in the case of Hosea, when God said to him, go and marry a prostitute, and he knew what the prostitute would have done to hurt him. He knew that, but yet he obeyed because why? God has spoken. Hosea said, oh, maybe I don't think this is. God spoke, and Paul said, because God is suffering, whatever he says is the final. And as a finite being, we have no weight. I mean, we can question it, but that would be sinning against God by questioning God's authority or commands to an individual. This is what Hosea went on, and he obeyed God. You know, God commands it; he obeyed. Whenever God commands and we obey, it brings blessing. Disobedience, most of the time, brings cursings. So whenever God said, do this, God had a reason of commanding the prophet to marry to a prostitute. And when you look at our previous video, you will learn that. All right, but he agreed. To really know God and to effectively minister for God, we must suffer with him. This is the point. Now, what God is saying here, the reason why God told Hosea to marry a prostitute, God wanted Hosea to feel the pains, the hurt that he had going through with the people of Israel, not doing the right thing. He wanted the prophet to experience the same thing, so that the prophet will have a wife that he loves so dearly, and their wife is a prostitute, cannot obey the husband, so that he will have that feeling. God wanted his servant to feel along with him. So what did his servant do? He obeyed. You see? Now, what we need to look at here to wrap as we are doing our study tonight is that the command to Hosea to marry a prostitute, we can look at it before the pre-fall state. God, there was a wedding that took place, Adam and Eve. God got fully involved into the two weddings, but with different objectives. Now, I want us to look at it carefully. With Adam and Eve, God gives Adam a wife, Eve, from one of his ribs. All right? Eve's role in God's creation was to be a helper for Adam and to procreate. God was directly involved in Adam's wedding during the pre-fall state. In Adam's wedding, God was directly involved. All right. But at this time, Eve was to help Adam and to procreate. Two major things that the wife was responsible to help Adam in accomplishing God's mission, and to also have children so that there would be population on this earth. See, God was involved in that. But Rob, I want you to summarize something you said about the rape of Adam's and Eve. I think I really love that. Can you just give a summary of that again? We did that study long ago, but if you can remember some of it.
Certainly. So, can we read about the event in the Hebrew? Mm-hmm. In the Hebrew language, we learn and see just a little bit more. Uh-huh. There's some that's not quite as powerful in the English language.
Yes.
And so, this event that unfolds in Genesis, we read that God took from the side, the curved part of Adam. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting as we look at this. So Adam's role, all he did was he slept. Mm-hmm. You know, God created him. God made him perfect. Mm-hmm. And God also knew that he needed a companion, mm-hmm. A counterpart. But what we see in the Hebrew, the word that is used is Ezer, you know, mm-hmm. meaning a helpmate, mm-hmm. Someone to work with him, to share with him, to share the load, and to help him through his life. Mm-hmm. And so when we read the event, when God performed the ceremony, Adam rested, then God took from Adam's curved part, from his side, and from that, he fashioned Eve. So it was a part of him. And it was to complement him. Mm-hmm. And she was fashioned in such a way to be the perfect helpmate for him. Mm-hmm. God knew everything that Adam needed. And mm-hmm. he made it so that he didn't have to want for anything.
Right.
Now, again, this is before the fall. So
before the fall, right.
We had two perfect beings. And again, it's from the side to be a helpmate, not from his thigh to, mm-hmm. to be lesser or from some other area of his body, but from his side, mm-hmm. to walk by his side, further emphasizing the role as a helpmate. You know, they work in conjunction, mm-hmm. not an oppression.
Thank you.
And that's that word, Ezer. that is used there. So very important. And remember, this is the first marriage. So this starts to paint a picture for us of how things should be.
Right. You got it. You got it. Thank you. Wow. Yeah, you got I love that summary you did. Okay, now, we are talking about God's direct involvement into weddings. During the pre-fall state, God was involved fully with Adam's wedding. So God himself gave Adam a wife. And Adam's wife was to do what? Was to help him, help Adam to accomplish God's mission and to have children. That was it. Now, during the fall, we find out from King took his own sister. I mean, the whole thing was just it was just sin here and there. King took his own sister. So from King all the way from the patriarch to now we are to the king. Now we are. We are dealing with the prophets. Now, the other involvement, God's direct involvement into a wedding, it is within the prophet. With Hosea, that he told him to go do what? Take a woman who is a prostitute. See, that was the main thing that I want us to look at very carefully. The first and direct involvement of God regarding a man's marriage after the fall was Hosea. With all of the study we have done, even though they married, they had good time, but the parents were, some of them, their parents were responsible, some of them went to war and captured the women and all that. But another direct involvement was after the fall was with Hosea. God spoke to him directly to marry a prostitute. And the reason here, God commanded the act to symbolize the fact that Israel, God's covenant wife, had been unfaithful to her husband, which is God, and had turned to idols for her support and protection, and to symbolize the fact that the people of Israel were the children of an unfaithful mother, the nation of Israel. Now, I think the key point there is that with Adam, Adam's wife was to help him accomplish the mission and to procreate. Now we see with the prophet, there's a different objective here with the role of the wife. The role of the wife was to prove to the man how hurtful it is for your wife to be unfaithful, right? Right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so it's we see, we definitely see a different focus.
Right.
And the amazing thing is there was no hesitation on his part.
Right. Right. Yeah, good. Okay, now the second thing is, let's look at the wedding itself now. The whole thing, let's look at the wedding itself. His wedding was blessed with three children. We look at God had commanded. He had gone and taken that wife who is unfaithful. But in the wedding, I mean, the marriage was blessed with three children, right? Number one, Hosea had two sons and one daughter. The first was the son in Hosea 1:4a. And the name of that son, the first son, is Jeriel. And the meaning of that word means God will scatter. Or God scatters. Now, if we look at Jeriah carefully, you know, it was an area. Jeriah was a small city located in the south side of the valley of Jeriah. King Ahab's summer palace had been located there. Here at Jeriah, one, Nebo's blood had been shed unjustly. You know, all kinds of wicked things happened in Jeriah. So giving that name to the firstborn was an indication of what God had intended to do to the people of Israel for their unfaithfulness. This is the problem. Now, the second child was a girl, and her name was Lo-Ruhamah. which means not love or not having mercy anymore. I'm not loving you anymore, or I will not have mercy upon you anymore. That's the meaning. It's a symbolism of the act. God was drawing his hand of mercy from the unfaithful and adulterous nation of Israel, leaving her to be destroyed and her people taken captive by the Assyrians. God has shown Israel mercy and has spared them from destruction. But now he will spare them no more. Gingrich said that, and I love it in his commentary on Hosea. I love the point he made. In this name, God is saying, no. Now he's speaking to the people of Israel through the names given to Hosea's children. I won't have mercy anymore. The Assyrians will take you from here, and they're going to wipe you out. So that was the name of the second born. Now the third child was a son. And his name was what? Lo Ami, which means not my people. Wow. Hey, Rob, do you have a little comment on this here?
Absolutely. So when looking at this, here's something that adds a little more context. We talked about this several weeks ago. We talked about a wedding being a blood covenant, which, if we remember, that's a binding contract. So think about that. In this context, he's talking about a blood covenant that he has. You know, God made a covenant with the Israelite people. Now here, the prophet has made a covenant with a prostitute. And so now these children are the result of this marriage.
Right.
And as you pointed out, the names are very interesting. So
yes.
The first one, Jezreel. When you look into this, I had forgotten how evil Ahab was. In 1 Kings 16:30, it reads, "And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all before him." Yeah, Israel and her kings were becoming exceedingly more wicked, moving farther and farther away from God, and so. What God is saying here by naming this child God Sows is that when you're planting seed, you're not planting it in one place, but scattering it across your field.
Right.
Or in the case of God, all of the earth is his creation. And so we can learn from this that the Israelites are soon going to be scattered all across the land and across the whole earth, because they've gone away from the Lord.
And the law.
They're serving false idols. They're losing their customs, their manners and their customs that they're supposed to be following. And as their king has gone, so are they. They're just becoming exceedingly more wicked and forgetting about this covenant. Actually, several covenants that had been placed up to this point. So now here they have an illustration that the prophet is bringing before them. Not only is he bringing testimony, he's also living it and providing an example through his marriage. So very, very interesting. And then we look at, you know, each child has a specific revelation that that pertains to the Israelites, and it's showing further and further that they're moving away from God.
Yeah. You're right. Thank you. Now, this is important. This is really important. Not my people. Every name, the three children, each child has a unique name with a unique meaning, which represents the kind of punishment that God has for the people of Israel for their disobedience. So we look at it very carefully. Now, I did a study about a year or two ago, and I was discussing about the children of Israel and the way how they turn away from God, more especially the Northern Kingdom, that later on God destroyed and took them completely from their land, and they never returned. That's what Hebrew history says, that they never returned. They remain, and some of them scatter all over the world. When you trace them very carefully in that study, you'll find out that even this very country in which we are, America, you know, if you look at the study very carefully, what I did long ago, has a direct link with Joseph's son Ephraim. That was a good study, you know. But anyway, this is not. But the point here is, God said, "You're not my people, and I'm going to destroy you because of your unfaithfulness." So God did. The whole thing that was going on was Hosea describes Israel's rebellion, which were demonstrated in Gomer's life. Now, everything that Hosea was preaching and teaching, he was experiencing the same thing in his wife's life at home. Can you imagine that? Oh, no. Wow. Everything that he was preaching and teaching, as he goes home, he was experiencing the same thing from his wife. Now, one, let me just look at the point here. These are some of the things that the people of Israel were doing. Swearing, lying, killing, stealing, and, you know, committing adultery. The wife was doing the same thing. You know, when you have a prostitute as your wife, she will always lie. You know, she will do all kinds of things. Godless religious leaders. Hosea will come up when you look at chapter 4 and you look at chapter 8 and look at chapter 5. He spoke about the godless religious leaders of Israel. Now when you turn the whole thing around, he was who? He was a prophet, a man of God. But what happened to his wife? A godless wife. He had a godless wife who was ruining his life. Okay. Godless political leaders. And it happened to the kings of Israel and Judah. A few prophets came up good. And they judged Israel. They did some, but there were just very few. But majority of the prophets, go back to our old video. We don't want to discuss that today. We discussed that already. Go back to that there. A few of them, but majority was just sinning against God day by day. Willful ignorance. They ignore, they don't have time. And so all these things, adultery, drunkenness, arrogance, insincere sacrifices, breaking the covenant, refusing to hear God's word, everything that Hosea was prophesying and preaching at the time of his ministry, all these things were happening to him in his relationship with his wife. So can you imagine what was going on then? See, he was experiencing these things. So God did that so that the prophet would see how he, God Almighty, how he felt about the whole thing, and he wanted his servant to have similar feelings. So Hosea was going through, his wife was unfaithful. The country was unfaithful to God. His wife was lying. The people were lying. His wife was godless. They were godless religious leaders in the land. We find some today. So these were all the problems that he had. God spoke to him. Israel would be increased. There will come a time that Israel would be restored. She will be greatly increased in numbers at the time of her restoration, just after Christ's second event. The second coming of Christ will break the whole thing, the whole pieces together. God will reclaim Israel as his children. That means, you know, at the end of the whole thing, Israel that has scattered, the Southern Kingdom that has scattered all over the world, God will bring them back together. They will be reunited with the Southern Kingdom, and they will have one leader. Israel and Judah will be together, and united. When you look at verse, chapter 1, verse 11, the children of Judah, which is the southern kingdom, and the children of Israel, which is the northern kingdom, will gather in Palestine from the lands of their dispersion and will be united into one nation. Oh, praise the Lord. It's going to come. Israel and Judah will be ruled by one head. And we know that on the human level, Israel was ruled over by David. Now on the divine level, who will rule Israel? It's Jesus Christ. His second coming, he will rule the whole world. Israel and Judah will keep their appointed feast. They will do everything that they used to do to worship God in good faith. They will be reunited. The tribe will come together and things are going to be great. But until then, they're still scattered around the world. Even though we have Israel as a nation, but majority of the people that left, their descendants, are still in foreign countries. That is the truth. The great things about Hosea 1:11 are to come to pass, for that great day will come, and God himself will work it out. Let us be very, very, let's point this out here. God really called called Hosea, the prophet. And it was not an allegory like how other people claim. That's not true. Because the text here says, God spoke to him to go and marry a prostitute. So he did. It was something, it was real. It was not an allegory. God did that for his servant to know how he feels, the kind of hurts that he loved Israel. He loved us and we don't love him. This is the point that God tried to get across with this man of God. All right. Now we come here next week. We're going to conclude. We're going to conclude. So hey, it's going to be great, it's going to be great. So join us tomorrow at 8 p.m. Sunday night. 8 p.m. every Sunday night. We are here. Join us. All right. Anybody joining us tonight? Do you have a question or do you have a comment to make? Okay. Now, all right. If you don't have question or comment, that means we'll praise God for you. Invite somebody next week. Join us at 8 p.m. every Sunday. 8 p.m. we come for this study. Great study. We will conclude Hosea this week. So, Rob.
I'm here.
Can you give us your concluding points before we finalize our announcement?
So, yes. So, I wanted to summarize a couple of things. Mm-hmm. One, as you said, this is not an allegory. No. This was an event that happened historically. Mm-hmm. Two, we look at the state of the nation of Israel at the time, what's happening with the Israelites. Mm-hmm. They're moving away. They've forgotten their first love. They're moving away from God. Mm-hmm. Just as we see in their kings, the kings were becoming exceedingly wicked. And so what's happening here is we have a prophet coming to them. And if it's important to remember that a prophet's role is to bring warning.
Yeah.
To provide a chance for the people to repent, mm-hmm. and to turn from their ways.
Right.
If not, they're foretelling what the consequences will be. So that is what's happening here. He is marrying a prostitute, fully well knowing that she's going to go back to her ways, though he's still going to love her, still going to have these children with her, yet she will bring heartache to him. Mm-hmm. So God's provision and protection is going to be removed. And the northern kingdom is going to be scattered across the earth. Mm-hmm. So the thing that we must remember, what is so important here, is what we see the prophet doing, what his actions are. And that is actions of obedience. He hears God's word. He hears the commands. And he obeys. Mm-hmm. No questioning. Just goes and obeys and does just as he is instructed. Whereas Gomer, his wife, turns and goes back to her wayward ways, just as the people do. So she's mm-hmm. still loved, just as the Israelites are still loved by God. And we still see that God has promised to restore the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we remember, when a covenant is made, it is for life when yeah. you cut covenant. So even though one of the parties may not follow it closely or live in a manner that's worthy of it, it's still binding. And as we've seen all through this study, God is the promise keeper.
God is the promise keeper.
We know that he's gonna keep his word.
Mm-hmm.
And our response to this should be just like that as Hosea, is to obey and to listen and to continue to draw close to him.
Hmm.
And as you point out, it will bring blessings. When you disobey, it brings curses. I'm not going to say it brings happiness
mm-hmm.
Or some of these other things that modern society would have us believe, but we will experience God's goodness. We will have peace, and we will start bearing spiritual fruits.
Amen.
Love, joy, you know, just being content. So many great things that we can experience, and it makes us a light for those around us, just like this prophet who, you know, did the unthinkable and witnessed to the Israelites and continued to love her and show just unending love for his spouse that, by all human standards, didn't seem to really deserve it. Yet only God can show this kind of love, this only unconditional God. Love, agape love.
Mm-hmm.
So some great things that we've seen here. And next week, we really get a chance to look at all these different studies and start putting the pieces together to paint a great picture of what a biblical marriage is. There's so much that God is teaching us and sharing with us. So I really look forward to that as well.
Hallelujah. Yeah, you're right. Thank you. All right, good. Okay, now, for those of you who are with us tonight, hey, thank you. And those who are with us by replay, do something for us, okay? And when you are viewing the video on YouTube, leave a comment, all right? They have thumbs up, thumbs down, hit it. Give us your decision, whether you like it or not. Leave us a comment. When you are viewing the video on our website, please do the same. Leave us a comment. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you so much for joining us. May God richly bless you. Sunday, 8 p.m., invite somebody. We will conclude Hosea on Sunday. All right? Thank you so much. And we will meet you on Sunday at 8 o'clock. And bye-bye, everybody. Thank you.